Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that should get us in the mood, shouldn't it? This is Dr. John Stamey, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the sun and fun capital of the world today. I'll tell you that. It was beautiful and 76, sunny, and we just couldn't say enough about the wonderful weather. And welcome to ScaryCast. We have our co-hosts tonight, both of them. Welcome to Kyler Smith from Houston, Texas. How you doing tonight, Kyler?
Doing much better, much, much better.
Well, good. Yeah, you weren't feeling very good last night on ScaryCast Monday. We're glad you're back on ScaryCast Tuesday and doing well, so thanks a lot. And our host, who is going to introduce our guest, the one and only Matt Delph. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Ready
well,
to...
great. Well, we're glad to have you from Ewing, Virginia, wherever that is, as I normally say. And you're going to tell us about our wonderful guest, Ms. Byers. So tell us about her and what does she do? This is her second trip down the ScaryCast lane.
Yeah, I've become good friends with her and research with her. A few years ago, we met, and it's been great ever since. She runs spiritual retreats. She's got a book coming out in the beginning of the year, and she does a lot of spiritual healing and stuff like that, and she's very, very high energy. She can, she's a medium. I guess that would be one of the terms that you could use. But yeah, she experiences everything. She can, get messages from across the veil, and very intelligent, and she's had a lot of experience, and she's helping me out with the spiritual side of research, and that's Jenny Byers.
Well, Jenny Byers, we're so glad to have you, and tell us a little more about what you do, and then we'll start our discussion. So tell us a little bit more about what you do, because I think we all have friends we would like to communicate with across the veil, don't we?
Oh, absolutely. And what I do is I walk between worlds and I assist people in doing that. But not only do I assist through my ability, I also teach people how to activate that ability within themselves, because we all have that ability. A lot of it's dormant with people because it hasn't been used. But once you start activating it, it's very natural. It's actually more natural for us to be able to communicate in between different dimensional realities than not. And a lot of the stress and trauma that people have is because they aren't using that ability and getting that guidance, and they need it. So it's beautiful to be able to help people activate that again, get higher guidance, and get on their spiritual path so they know why they're here and know what gifts they have that they're supposed to be sharing with the world.
Okay, well, that sounds great. And let me ask you this, if this is not too much to ask. We've got three co-hosts tonight, me and Kyler and Matt. Mm-hmm. Would it be appropriate that we might get you to ask someone, whoever it is that we want to contact, a question and see what kind of an answer you get. Would that be something you might be able to do for us during the course of this wonderful podcast?
Yes, I can. Yeah, so the way that I do it, if we're going to do something like that, I'd like to share the way that I do it so that you guys understand how it works through me. But absolutely, I do that. Actually, I do it weekly with a group where I just take questions. I just sit and do that sort of thing, and it's really, really awesome.
Okay, great. So, all right, so as we move through tonight's discussion, we will do that and let you show us a little bit about what you do. And in fact, let me go ahead and ask one. Okay.
Sure.
My mother told me after she passed away that she was upset with my father for something that he did, and can you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, so, yeah, so let me explain how it works. So what I do is I move into a space where I am in the field more, so I kind of do a shift within my own mind, which I can do, and then when I move into that space, into what I call the source field, I spin my consciousness up, and this is just kind of a little ritual that I do. People all do it differently, but I move my consciousness up, I move my vibration up, and I push my energy field out, and they step into my field. So simultaneously, two things are happening. My consciousness moves into a higher dimension, accessing higher dimensional realities or vibrations. They come down into my field. Their vibration and my vibration of my field interact. When this happens, it's a transmittive or an attuning, a blending, and a transmission through vibration. And then I am able to translate that into English. So I get it in light language is what I call it, what we speak before we come into the body, what we speak when we leave the body. So because I've not met your mom, my mom works as my gatekeeper. So my mom walks people into my field, spirit into my field. So there's a little attunement process that happens with me and your mom so that I can get to know, feel her energy, and begin to get communication from her. So if I'm going to do something like that, it usually takes me just a little bit of time. I will connect and feel her in my field. And what I like to do is I like to let them lead a little bit so that I know it's them, that I've gotten the right person. So do you guys want to just give me a little minute to attune with her? I mean, you can chat for a second, and I can just jump right back on and let you know when I'm connected and what I'm getting. Is that okay?
Sure, and I will tell Kyler and Matt the reason that I know this fact is I met a psychic from Richmond, Virginia, shortly after my mother died. My father preceded her by about a year. And this psychic just all of a sudden told me exactly what was going on. It was amazing. And I knew he was right because of several things that he said. And that is really what got me interested in paranormal research. And I then went to the Ryan Institute of Parapsychology. I met Richard Broughton and I met John Palmer. They put me in an experimental room and they had me do some experiments, and it was the old shock and amaze. They were shocked and amazed that I could do what I could do. And I didn't know that I could. So it was just, that's really what got me involved in this. And they kept trying to get me to come up there and do experiments with them, and I just felt kind of creepy about that. I felt like it wasn't really anybody's business to know what was going on. And maybe I should have, but I didn't. And so anyway, so then I went and got my doctorate at North Carolina State, and I presented myself at the Ryan Research Institute, and I met Dr. Sally Rhinefeather. We became very close friends, and I got to experience a lot of things that many people don't. And it was, and I had a miracle, two miracle healings associated with the Ryan Research Institute that were very real. I was in a very bad way twice. And so, I mean, it was just amazing what happened. That's kind of, you know, where I am. And it's just gotten better and better and better. And that's one reason, that's the real reason that I do Scary Cats. Is I want
now,
to...
Now, I got a question.
Sure.
So is the Ryan Institute, is it similar to the Monroe Institute?
Well, I don't really know much about the Monroe Institute, although I've met and had breakfast with Joe McMonagle, who's up there. But the Ryan Research Institute, they do experiments and they publish papers. That's what they do. I think the Monroe Institute is more about education and doing seminars.
Yes,
and,
awakening. Angelia had worked there for like 12 years.
And I really thought that the Ryan should be doing that, and so did Sally, but we didn't get a lot of support. So I mean, I said, well, you know, looks like the board doesn't want to do what we want them to do. And she said, I guess not. And Sally kind of felt trapped by that board. I mean, she wanted to do things that I wanted to do. But this didn't work out. And I know they're still there. They're struggling. They were always going to be struggling unless they got involved in conferences and things like that. And I had a conference for the Ryan down here in Myrtle Beach. I had about 400 people show up, and they made a lot of money. And it was just amazing that conference, and they just didn't want to do it. They thought there was something wrong with it. And so they made, and they got very mad. The board got very mad at me and at Sally. And I just said, well, Sally, I'm just going to let them do what they want to do. And she hated that, and I hated it too. So, but that was not until I had some amazing experiences by way of the Ryan Research Institute. And
I know the Monroe Institute is there. They offer courses and stuff, and Angelia used to go there. She was actually going to do a seminar there. She was talking about how they teach you, you know, some remote viewing, astral projection, changing, you know, using your energy, all kinds of stuff. It was pretty crazy, some of the stuff that she talked about. She talked about there was people, you know, that like, could bend spoons with their mind, and sounds like a, you know, like a pretty cool actual place. I was kind of curious if the Ryan Institute ever offered anything like that or done anything, or was it more just psychological without the exercises?
More like testing and producing results, which might not necessarily have been what they should have been doing. They should have had a better outreach program and programs that people could enjoy and monitor and everything. So, I mean, that's what I thought, and that's what Sally Rhinefeather thought, but we didn't get to do it. And so that was that. I hated that. And I was just wondering, do I dare ask Jenny if she's still around?
I just didn't want to interrupt somebody. I was waiting for my moment to jump back in. That was a good conversation. Okay. All right. So normally when I do this, and I'm going to tell you guys, I connect in the higher dimensional realities. I don't connect in the in-between, and I know we've talked about that before on the last call. And the way that I do this is I let them come in, and I just let myself attune, and then I pick up on what the message is that they have for you. And then, you know, I can go on for hours with people in session. The first thing I got from her is your mom is just basically, she felt like she wanted to get you on your path. So she's just saying that she realized when she got over to the other side that you were not on your path. You were not doing what you were here to do. And she wanted to play a role in assisting. So she said the message that she got through to you was mostly about proving to you that she's still here. She wanted you to know that she's still here, she's still around, and she wanted to help you get on your path. One second.
Okay.
So what I feel from her energy, because I start to feel their vibration, she is a very smart person. Like, she was a very smart person. She's very intelligent. But she's also was very, very connected emotionally. So she says that you have a lot of her traits. She works with you on what you're doing. She also feels that there was healing involved in the message that she gave you about your dad, because she said there was healing that needed to happen in the family, and there was healing around that, the situation. And she came into her higher self, so she also had healed those things, those parts of her. Give me one second.
I'm sorry, say that again.
She had done a lot of healing, too, around things that she had needed to let go of, things that she needed to forgive and be in a higher space about. So part of that, when they come in that way, is accountability and just saying, you know, there were things that were impinging or in the way of them just being in a state of unconditional love when they were here. Okay, so was your mom a thinner woman?
Was she a what?
Was she thin? Was she a tinier frame, tinier
yeah.
woman?
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
I just want to make sure that's what I see when she's in my field. And like I said, the more time I spend, that was like the general message that I felt. The more time, and I know we don't have a lot of time, so I feel a little bit rushed, but normally when I sit down, I spend at least an hour, 2 hours, because it gets very deep into the healing aspect of things. What I do is more about bigger things, about they go into just some really deep personal things from the higher realms, because their interest is in helping heal major things in the family line and you understanding what they've worked through, who they are. Getting back into a real connected, authentic space with them. And it's very, very powerful what they do. Anyway, she's just pouring love through my field onto you, because she loves what you do. She loves being a part of it with you. You know, those are the general things that she's letting me know. She's very sweet. But she loves that you jump into this world. Do you not feel her or connect with her much at all?
Well, I do. Sometimes there was one time that I just got mad at her about a year ago. I just got really mad at her about things that she did and everything. And then all of a sudden I smelled her perfume for about a day.
Yeah.
It was very strong right here where I lived. I mean, and I realized she was here. And I realized, as one of my clients said, she's just right over there. I can't see her, but she can see me.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the gist of what I feel from her energy in my field about the situation is that there were just things that she had needed to heal within herself and forgive within herself and others. So there was a lot of healing that took place for her when she got to the other side. And, you know, so she's very different than she was here. Yeah, you know, if you remember, like, her biggest self or highest self, that's really where she is now. She's got a good sense of humor. She's very light. So she's, you know, she's got beautiful energy, but there were limitations for her here. So it's always good to reconnect with them and feel who they are now in their higher energy, because that brings about the healing and the understanding. You know, so I'm not like the kind of psychic that does, you know, I don't even call it a psychic because I feel so different than that. But what we will do if we sit down, which we should, and do a full session with her and whoever else you have over there, it's important because sometimes we still think of them as they were here, and there are aspects of them that are the same, but for the most part, all of the lower aspects of them are no longer with them. You're only interacting with the highest healed part of them. And that's when that connection is activated. You have a closer relationship than ever, and then they're able to help you on your path, work with you in the bigger things of your life. One of the things that happens a lot with people when we sit down and we bring them in, they help you activate your greatest potential in your life. They will say to people, look, you know, here's your greatest potential coming. Here's what we see is an opportunity for you that's coming. And if you want to take it, and people will say to me, that sounds completely impossible. And then a month later, they call me and say every single bit of that transpired. So it's almost like when they tell you what your greatest potential is, it activates it within you, your ability to perceive it or to open a door for it, and then they can work with you to make it happen. It's really amazing. But it's similar with your mom. Like, she helped you with your path. You know, she really helped activate your spiritual connection and your spiritual path, and that's what she intended to do.
Well, you know, it's real funny. Kyler Smith, who's with us tonight, keeps telling me that I am the luckiest person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Kyler?
Very true. Very true.
It's like things just seem to happen that are very fortuitous to me in my business. They really do. And, I mean, it's like, you know, and he's right. I mean, it's like, and I always, a lot of times I'll say, well, you know, I have this buddy Kyler Smith that says I'm the luckiest man in the world, and I think I really kind of am. So, I mean, you know, things are moving, you know, they're going pretty well, and I think he's right. But I guess what you're saying is I'm having some help.
Absolutely. And once you activate them, and I say that you activate them in your life, you bring them in and you begin to work with them, it's incredible because you don't have the same struggles. They push through things. There's this energy and this flow that happens. I mean, it's part of my life as well, and I see it all the time with people. This is why it's so important to connect and start working in the higher dimensions. We were always meant to do this, but it makes life a lot easier.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, this is something we'll talk about further. And I want to thank you for telling me this. And a lot of it is far more accurate than you realize. You probably did realize it. You've told me some things that were highly accurate. So that's great.
Okay.
And so thank you. All right. Now, Matt, have you got something you'd like to talk with Jenny about?
Oh, gosh. Which me and her, we'll do a private session sometime here in the future. But I don't know. I just, if you feel anything about, like, my direction, it's like I'm kind of like just spinning right now anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The past 2 years, it's like just been nuts. Do you have anything from anyone kind of help me, guide me direction-wise?
Sure. Okay, give me just a minute, and let me see who steps in my field for you.
Okay.
All right, Matt, and while we do that, what can you tell us that you're going to be doing this weekend? I mean, I know you got to be careful because you're under non-disclosure and everything, but what kinds of things are you going to be looking at this weekend?
Oh, yeah, we got an expedition this weekend. Of course, it's at an undisclosed location, but this area has got so much high strangeness, and I've been there before. They've had UFO sightings, And I'm pretty sure somebody said that there was a UFO crash site there, and Army Corps of Engineer would use some of their old campgrounds possibly in this area that we'll be doing some research in, but it's got a lot of high strangeness. Last time I was there, we experienced something had, of course, radiation spike. We had a lot of, they had chatter coming from the woods, like a different language. All our devices all went dead. They couldn't communicate back and forth. And then we had some weird, strange lights that was in the woods, and it was odd because we had communication to one team that was out in the field, but we got these points where we go out and we'll research. We'll send out several teams from base camp, and we will, you know, of course, we'll have a observation point, like this team will sit here and wait, and then another team will walk a certain way and, you know, strategically move throughout the field in the area, in this remote area. And we had some weird lights come through there time before this past year. Myself and Trey Hudson, we seen like a shadow figure cross the path in front of us, which was pretty crazy because as soon as we seen it and it crossed the path in front of us, me and him both seen it. We get up there and we were looking for, because, of course, we got a lot of nice equipment. We're looking for a heat signature. There's no heat signature, no tracks even showing, you know, the heat from the tracks or anything. And it's a pretty crazy place that we're going to be going to. We had a lot of activity there this past year, actually. I've been there maybe three or four times this year. I can't remember exactly. Yeah. I do so much. So
well, that sounds like
looking forward
fun.
To this one, too.
And Jenny, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay,
Matt.
Well, you're...
Matt, so your mom, I got to meet your mom. I know that, you know, you've talked about her, but she's in my field, and so it's the first time her and I've gotten to meet. Your mom has a lot of things to say, Matt. I'm not sure if it had a lot of opinions when she was here, but she has a lot to say to you, she says. I mean, she's already chatting quite a bit, and The main thing that she says for you is that your focus is, so if you want to, she's talking about how you create your reality and you create your direction. Your focus is the key. So it feels like your focus, she says, has been a little too all over the place. It needs to be more focused in what you want, and that's how you manifest. That's how you create. And she said, once you make a decision and you focus on it, she'll work with you to help you create it, and she's there and she's aware. She's learning herself, by the way. Your mom's learning a lot over there. It's been quite the experience for her. One of the challenges that she's had is not being able to give you her opinion. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know her, but did she always guide you and share her opinions with you? Was she pretty clear on what she thought about her life? And
oh, yeah. She was real blunt.
Outspoken about it, yeah. Yeah, so it's been – the other thing is she's funny. She's lighthearted about it, but she's like – it's funny for her not to be – for her, like, in a humorous way that she can't tell you what she thinks and you can't hear her. She said that's been a funny adjustment for her. But anyway, you and I definitely need to sit down. She's got a lot of things to say, and I also have to let you know that she's holding a baby. So that's all going on right there, and it's really beautiful.
Excellent.
Uh-huh.
Do we know
yeah,
who
we'll
the baby is?
Yes,
is that her grand,
sure.
The grandchild?
Yeah, the grandson. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's awesome, though. But, yeah, she was my number one supporter with all this research and everything. She wanted to go to every event, everything. John, you've met her. She's
all excited.
I'm sorry,
about
go ahead.
That. Yeah, but the two of you talked all the time, and not her not being able to talk to you is just, you guys need to clear that up, because she's still a part of it and wants to be a part of it, and you know, she doesn't like being in the background.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Definitely could see. That's awesome, though.
Wow. Well, Matt, it sounds like to me, in fact, I get the feeling Jenny hit the nail on the head.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt. Yep.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, she always had a funny sense of humor, too. She'd always...
Yep. Yeah, she's so funny. Like, the way she's talking to me is through kind of a laughter in a way that she's presenting the information to me anyway. It comes from very light, kind of funny, and, yeah, she's not serious.
Right, yeah. Yeah, she's always mm-hmm. joking. We always had a good time.
Yeah.
So that's good. Mm-hmm. It's like I always said, you'd always get on to me about some of my stuff. Because you know how I am, I'm pretty far out there on stuff, and she'll just roll her eyes and be like, oh, my gosh.
So funny. I love it.
That's awesome, though.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look, Jenny, thanks for that one. Now, Kyler Smith, your third up at bat. Do you have a question you would like to pose to Jenny Byers?
I actually just had a question about something you said earlier about mm-hmm. all these abilities and stuff that we have had or some people have had and just don't really know how to use them. What are some of those abilities that you're talking about?
In general, or do you mean yours?
I just mean in general.
In general, okay. Yeah, so all of us have an ability to interact in different dimensional realities. The way we do it is different, and we all have different sensitivities, and we all are on different frequencies. So we have an ability, all of us, to shift our vibration in alignment with higher vibrational realities and communicate in one way or another. Some people get it through pictures, through voices. I mean, there's just a variety of different ways. So when I sit down with people and we do a session, Spirit is always interested and motivated to help you understand how you are able, how they can communicate with you. What, you know, they will sometimes adjust their vibration, or they know exactly how to get through to you. Like, for instance, the session I did today, they told her that they can reach her better in her dreams. And then she told me that she had just had a dream. And when she told me the dream, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, her brother had passed and she had just had a dream. You know, and so she was actually interacting in the higher dimensions with him. So, you know, he just told me, he said she needs to practice that, because for her, she wasn't controlling it. It was just happening to her. And he said, you know, she needs to work on it, focus before she goes to bed, and really hone in the ability for her to travel while she sleeps and remember the messages and the interaction. You know, so just things like that. You know, each of us do it differently, like I said, and so you just need to understand how Spirit works directly with you. The smells, I was just last week doing a channeling, and I said, okay, somebody here is getting the psychic sense, and I said the psychic smells, and there were so many coming at me at once. And this lady just started laughing. She said, I'm getting them so strong and so many of them that I can't sleep. And she's like, and I just keep waking up with all these smells. So that's just one of the ways that they let her know that they're there. And then from there, once you know they're there, you can just go inward and just take a minute, you know, and say, okay, come into my field and let's talk. And then you open up and you just kind of go relax your mind. So the first things that start to come, the feelings that you get, you know, just the knowings, you know, it's very subtle, but you can pick up on it if you stop and focus. So a lot of times there's a way that they'll get through to you through signs, you know, they'll give you a song on the radio, but they'll let you know they're there. And then it's our job to get quiet and just tune into them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, especially the thing with dreams, too, because dreams always fascinated me. They're very confusing. I've talked to people in the past where they're like, well, I've had dreams that have actually happened before. And hearing that, I was like, that's amazing. I don't know how that works, but that sounds cool.
Yeah, mostly because we dream outside of time. If you're not stuck in a fear-based dream, those are different. We dream either from the amygdala part of the brain, which is more the ego, which is past, working through past things or looping in fear or trauma or stress. But if we can move ourselves into a higher space when you go to sleep, like that's why listening to maybe some 963 hertz solfeggios before you go to sleep moves your body into a higher vibration, into the higher mind, and you begin to dream in the higher dimensional realities. And you dream outside of time because you move into the quantum field very easily. That's why people have prophetic dreams. I do that a lot. A lot of times I'll dream about what's happening the next day. And I wake up and then it plays out in front of me. And that happens a lot. I think I'm a micromanager. I think I just jump to the next day so I can try to get ahead on it. You know, I think it's a managing thing, you know, but I do it for sure.
Okay. Wow. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, that's very interesting.
I'm sorry.
What about
Monroe Institute? I heard Matt mention Monroe Institute, and I actually studied Monroe. I did a Monroe weekend. And speaking of dreams, the Monroe Institute is awesome for listening to, you know, the hemisync before you go to sleep, and activating the higher mind so that you can dream through the higher self and activate spirit in the dream.
Okay.
Now, how does that go with lucid dreaming? Because lucid dreaming, you control your own, you know you're in the dream state and you can control it. Now, I wonder how that goes along with the whole, you know, like getting messages from spirit and stuff through the dream state.
So usually lucid dreaming happens when you have a really high vibration and you're activated in the centrum part of your brain, which is your God brain that's tethered into the source field. So if you can recall any moments where you were lucid, can you control that, Matt, or does it just happen?
I used to be able to when I was younger, and then I could control my dreams. I'd know I was in the dream state, and I could control it when I was younger. As I got older, not quite so much, but if I dream now, it's mostly something that's very, it's like a warning, something that's going to happen within 2 weeks. It's usually bad. It's somebody coming to me with like a message that, you know, something is going on to see, either I'm being deceived or something like that. And it usually happens within 2 weeks, but Angelia was trying to get me to do, you know, of course, the lucid dreaming and keep a dream journal. So she was always getting mad at me, and I had a dream. It was kind of cool because she'd always get on to me. She's like, write down your dream as soon as you wake up, because you start forgetting as soon as you wake up. And she said, even write down if you don't remember your dream, because you dream every night. And so after she had passed away, I had a dream, and she come up and she was telling me something, and she told me the message, and then I got up, I had to use the bathroom, and I lay back down, and I forgot it. And I was like, man, she's going to kill me because I didn't write nothing down. I need to start doing that. I could hear her now on to me.
Yeah, and so the Monroe Institute, they have the lucid dreaming hemisync. So you can play that at night while you sleep, and it activates the lucid dream state. But what they're doing really is working with the hemispheres of the brain and activating the higher aspects of the brain. So what I call the centrum part of the brain, which is a pyramid shape in the top of your head, which is really a tachyon chamber, which harnesses light into the body if it's activated. But through lucid dreaming, the first time I ever had a lucid dreaming experience is when I went and stayed the weekend, and I was in my cabin at the top of the mountain where I had my big awakening and my mom got through. I was in a super high vibration because it was a vortex. And I was lucid dreaming like crazy, but I didn't fully understand it. And I was actually like walking around the property similar to an out-of-body experience where I was astral. But yet I was still in my body. So, you know, it was like my vibration went up so fast being in that, at that place and in that vortex that I was hyper aware. And I think what lucid dreaming is being highly aware while, and not going fully into, you know, the sleep state. You're just, you stay kind of in that aware place. We have a, we work with healing frequencies here. So we have a terahertz wand that you can put all over, you know, you use on different parts of the body, and it's very, very healing. Well, I was using it on the crown of my head, and I went and laid down to take a nap, and I had a lucid dreaming experience. My vibration was so high from that terahertz wand that it was crazy. I mean, I was just fully conscious, yet my body was dreaming. So that's what it feels like. It's like you can witness your mind and your body doing something else, and you're witnessing it from your higher self. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's the way I would interpret a lucid dream, is you're just, you know, it's more like from your higher self staying in a hyper state of awareness while all of this stuff's going on in your body, like your body's having a dream experience. I see it as two separate things. There's the human body, the avatar, the ego mind, and then you've got the God brain that's doing something else.
That makes sense. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a question for you, Jenny, and I think this is a question that a lot of people would like to know. How did you get started into this as a business? And when I say in terms of a business, I'm saying something that you do for people and that mm-hmm. they come to you for this. How did that all happen?
Oh, my mom really forced me to do it, to be honest, because I didn't want to. She told me before she died that this was what we were going to do, that we had contracted to do this. My mom always wanted to help people connect. She was able to do it, and she tried to teach it, but she was way ahead of her time. You know, 20 some years ago, people were just not ready, and it was kind of a disappointment for her. But you know, she knew, she was so connected, and she said, "Look, I'm going to go over there. I'm going to work for you." But I feel like I was drug kicking and screaming into this because I really didn't want to do it. But the way she got me to do it was she would start having people call me that were in crisis or their friends had passed or loved ones had passed away. And I'm really, you know, I'm really compassionate and I really want to help people too. So she would have people call me and ask me to help them. I would only usually hear spirit for myself. I didn't want to hear for anybody else because I didn't want the accountability of that. And I just didn't have the confidence. And, you know, so when she had people coming to me, I couldn't tell them no. So I would do my best to try to, I was like, okay, let me see if I can hear, let me see what I get. And I remember the first one that I did to someone I'd gone to high school with, he called me and his partner had died. And I was so sad, you know, about it. And I said, all right, let's sit down. And I was really nervous about it and didn't know. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get anything. I'm just going to pull out a disclaimer. Who knows? And all of a sudden, I hear water bottles, and I'm hearing all this stuff, and I'm telling him, I'm like, I don't know what the water bottles are. And it was so funny because I'm like, gosh, maybe you don't have to drink purified water anymore in heaven. I have no idea what this is about. But it turned out that he was an alcoholic. And he was hiding vodka in water bottles all over the house. So those little things started happening to me, and I started going, oh, my gosh, I completely heard that. As crazy as that sounded, I heard it. You know, so just building up the confidence to know that I just actually heard that because I didn't know anything about it. So that I would tell anybody that you have to start that way. You know, all of us are able to hear. All of us can get messages. It's having the confidence to say it when you get it, and being brave enough to say it when you get it, because it takes bravery, you know, because you feel like an idiot if you say things, you know. And I have the funniest stories about me being pushed into doing this and me going, "Mom, I'm not doing this. No, leave me alone. I don't want to do this." And she's like, "Oh my gosh, I know I drove her crazy." So it just was a very gradual thing for me to accept the fact that I came to do this. I need to do it. And it's a beautiful thing. I need to get over myself kind of thing.
Okay. That's interesting. It sounds like a very interesting tale that you just told. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's really very interesting. I mean, it just is. Matt, have you got another question for Jenny? We'll do Matt, Tyler, and then I'll close. Okay, so all right, Matt.
It's kind of a funny story, though. I believe that everybody crosses your path that you're supposed to meet at some point in life. And, of course, I didn't meet Jenny till a couple years ago. And come to find out, we were back in my hometown, back at the same time. And it's kind of funny because she went to Purdue University, and which is in Lafayette, Indiana, which I lived at the time. And during those years, before we both moved down south, and I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, how many times I wonder if we cross paths or something, you know, didn't even realize at the time that it was all putting us towards the now. I thought it was just kind of funny. I mean, it's not really a question or anything. Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, but I also really felt strongly that Angelia is the one. Well, she did bring us together for a reason.
Yes.
And I laugh at how she was really, really preparing you for her transition so that you could hear her. She, you know, whether she consciously knew it or not, I know she was. She was trying to get you to tune in so that when she got over there, she'd still be able to work with you and communicate with you. So I feel like that connection is so important for you to stay in connection with her, Matt, so that she can be a part of it. Mm-hmm.
It was funny because she was trying to mind speak with me, and she sent me a text, and it just, out of the blue, it said, "It's a food." And I respond, of course. I thought it was a message for somebody else. I'm like, "You send that to the wrong person? Who are you talking to?" She's like, "No, I'm talking to you." She's like, "I'm mind speaking to you." And so I'm like, so I just take a guess. She said a food. I was like, "Pizza." And she's like, "No, it's cheese." And she's like, "I suck at this." And she was getting irritated. But, of course, she told me no matter what realm she was in before she passed away, she's really bad sick. She told me, though, that no matter what realm she's in, she would find me. And she was the one that introduced, because I did not – it was kind of wild because I think about the whole Indiana thing. We're in the same town, same area. We didn't come across each other. You show up to Johnson City.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see you that day. And she was talking about you, and I'm like, "I didn't see this person, you know. Who are you talking about?" And then later on, everybody's telling me, "Oh, you're going to Jenny's place for the Halloween weekend." I'm like, "I am?" And they're like, "Yeah, didn't you?" And Angelia had done that Facebook Live video, and she said her and Katie was going over to your place Halloween weekend, and that they were dragging me along whether I liked it or not. So... And I was like, "Okay, who is this person? What's going on?" You know, it was kind of funny because she never really asked me, "Hey, you know, you want to go over there?" She said, "I'm going no matter what." And I just thought it was weird that we didn't meet at the conference. We didn't meet up in Lafayette, but yet we were in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, boom, now here we are. I thought that was pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I love it. Yeah, I mean, this whole journey, when you start to connect with spirit and start seeing the world from spirit's eyes, this journey is so amazing. We're all connected. It's, you know, it's just, it blows your mind. And I learn something new every day. I do sessions, and every single time I open into the field and I have communication, I learn something different. It's endless, endless amount of learning, and this is why we love this. I mean, this, it's so fun for us to be on this journey. So, and you know, and when you're open-minded and you're exploring, Spirit loves it because they love to be able to work with us and help us and be a part of it. So Angelia, I know, is definitely still a big part of things.
Oh, yeah. I think she was preparing me. I wasn't ready at the time, yet we were in the same area. I wasn't ready vibrational at that time, ready for this conversation we're having now at that point. That's why I think we didn't interact until later.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah. Yeah, but I knew Angelia pulled me into this because when I met her, it was important. Our meeting was definitely important. She did some big things here and big things before she left. So
yeah.
it's really.
But that's all I got. Not really a question, just a little cool little statement, I guess.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, Matt, well, thank you. And Kyler, what do you have to ask or comment about what Jenny Byers has said tonight?
I actually wanted to hear another one of those starting out stories because that was kind of funny.
I don't know. I think I mentioned on the last call that I think what started me really set me on my path was when I did a plant medicine journey and with a Korean healer, and it was so profound for me. And after doing that journey, I actually was pulled out of my body fully into the void, what people call the void, where I was outside of physical reality completely, and I was in just pure creation. A pure creative energy. It was everything and nothing at the same time. And just being able to spend time in that space helped me unwind a lot of illusions that I was under still, you know, belief systems that I needed to break down that were necessary in order for me to be able to be a clear channel. If I was going to be able to channel for people, if Spirit was going to work with me and they were going to come in, it's one thing to do it for yourself. It's another whole new level of accountability and responsibility because they do not want the messages distorted. They want it to come in as pure as possible. And if people are stuck and locked in belief systems, they're going to skew that information based on their belief systems. So one of the most difficult things I did in agreeing to surrender and be in service to Spirit and allow them to have a voice through me was to clear up a lot of my own egotistical beliefs or ideas or, you know, all of kind of the ego part of me had to integrate. And after that journey, it was 6 months after that journey that I was gifted this property. And from there, I just started building and I had no idea what I was doing. None. I literally was just like, I don't know, just stick a cabin over there. I don't know. I really didn't have a big vision. It would just come to me as I went along and I'd say, okay, oh, I'm doing this. And it would come to me like in an instant, I would just go, oh, I get it. Okay. I'm putting another cabin there. Okay. I'm going to build a kitchen here. Oh, I'm going to build a bathroom here. And really it was just kind of people look at me and be like, okay, you don't like sit down and put together a master plan. No, I get it in the moment. Because as soon as I align with the field, boom, there it is. And then I know and I just go do it. So I'm a very in-the-moment person, and I flow, you know, in spirit. So you get stuff when you get it. So when I was gifted this property and I realized that they were trusting me at a level that I was very humbled to be trusted because they started bringing people to me in very what my mom said is this is spiritual triage. We're setting this place up for people who are in, you know, chronic trauma states. And, you know, you're going to be in between worlds for people that are coming to get reconnected to Spirit, to get healing, those that are being called back. And it's time. And this is going to be a place, a center for activation. So basically, I feel all I did was just agree to let them use me. I just said, all right, do what, you know, I trust you. Tell me what I'm doing. And then every day I learn. I mean, it's literally like I'm just an observer, like I'm along for the ride. You know, they just do their thing, and it's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Okay, mm-hmm. Kyler, thank you very much. And I'm going to ask a question nobody wants me to ask. Okay, this is an Angelia question. This was our falling out. I ran the Cherokee Comic-Con, and I had Travis Walton there because she hooked me up with Travis Walton, 3-day conference. And on Sunday morning, she and that lady, that MUFON lady from Nebraska, and Travis Walton came walking in, and she said, well, we're going to leave now. I said, we all are supposed to be talking here in a few minutes. Well, no, we're just going to leave. It's going to take us a long time to get back to Nashville. And I'd paid Travis Walton $3,000 plus airfare to get there. And I have always wondered, and I'm sorry for asking this question. I mean, golly, I was just wondering why that happened. Why did they just up and decide to leave? And they put me in danger of having to pay the Cherokee tribe back about $800. You know what? I'm sorry. I have thought and thought and thought. Well, do I ask this question? But this mm-hmm. is a big question for me. And, I mean, I don't know why.
I can answer that for you.
Okay. Well.
She didn't know that they were supposed to have a panel. She did not know that they were supposed to have a panel. So she didn't know that. She thought that, you know, people were just going to be kind of hanging out and talking. She didn't know that they had another speaking thing. And they had to get a flight back for Travis. And, they didn't. She did not know, because any time that she makes an obligation to something, she would always honor it. If she gives you her word on something, she always honors it. Now, you know, I don't know Travis
okay.
well enough if he knew or not, but I know she did not know, because she was asking me, what is he talking about, what panel or something? And I didn't realize. I knew we had the lineup Saturday, but she did not know. That's why, because she even come in there and told everybody bye, and she wanted to tell everybody, but she did not know that they was going to have another speaking that day. Or she would have definitely would have stayed.
Okay, I just didn't know. I just never knew. I never knew the answer to that question. And that was kind of like...
She never...
But I will say that, and I want to say this about Angelia. I mean, because the reason I really respect her is because right before she passed away, she called me up. She said, John, let's be squared away and let's be friends. You know what I said? Because I always really liked her. I said, sure, I'm fine with that. I mean, I don't – in other words, when I say I don't care, sometimes I don't care what people do. If they say they're sorry, whatever that means, I'm fine with that. Now, Jimmy, is that a weird behavior? If someone really says they're sorry, I'm fine with that, and I forgive them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way I am.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I think is really great to do, if you guys, you know, sometime, I know we have a short time on these calls, but it's really fun to do a Q&A with Spirit about big things like this. I think it's the kind of thing that would be so helpful to people. Like if we have big questions about the nature of reality, you know, I have a group where we ask some really big questions, and I stay for the most part in a state of connection with my mom, and I get the messages from my mom. So we would let her come in and kind of run this through me. And, you know, I don't know if you guys have people that call in or whatever or type in questions, but it is so amazing to just sit down with them and ask them a lot of different questions and let them just give us their perspective. So we love doing that. And I think we need to do more of that.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this something that is done in person, or do you do this? Because I know you can do it. Obviously, you've done it tonight. Mm-hmm. You've done it remotely mm-hmm. from everybody. But do you have a program set up that we could remotely have these discussions?
Yeah, so, I mean, I do Zoom calls with groups that we do this. I do Zoom call sessions. I mean, I can do it in any way. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's in person or not.
Okay. All right. I was just wondering because I'm going to probably check with you and see how I can become involved in that because I would like to. Although you probably knew I was going to do that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thanks.
I'm going to say
that you have been the most delightful and charming guest we've ever had on Tuesday night.
Thanks.
You've been accurate to a fault. Take that as a good thing. You've been accurate to a fault. And, you know, so I want to say thank you. And I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Because as you know, I do tend to ask things that I shouldn't ask, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, you know that, and that's kind of part of my nature. But I'm going to speak for Kyler, and I'm going to speak for Matt, because I think I am speaking for them. But we would like for you on a semi-regular basis, like every 2 months, to be a guest on our show.
Okay, that would be fun. I would love to do that.
Okay, now Matt, did I ask a question on your behalf that you approved?
Oh, yeah, you know, he's welcome to anything.
I know, I'm sorry, Jenny, you know that's just what I do. Sometimes I like to speak for people if I'm doing something good. If I'm doing something bad, I don't speak for them. But I thought that would be great. We would love to have you, like, every 2 months to come on here one night and just do it. Now, Kyler, is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah, I knew that was coming.
You see, now let me tell you all about Kyler. Kyler is in for the biggest experience of his life this weekend. He has got a plane flight to Wilmington, North Carolina, and he is going to spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with me running an event. And
oh, nice.
And it is going to be unlike anything he's ever seen. I've got the Grinch coming for Christmas to take pictures for kids. I've got the Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce is all over this thing. I mean, it's just – and, I mean, I hope he is – shocked at how good it is, because I think it's going to be great.
Oh.
And my Grinch buddy is just like out of sight. He's incredible. So Kyler is going to be experiencing the John Stamey event, and it's going to be great. So now, why don't you tell Kyler what he might be looking. Okay, and this is our last question. Tell Kyler what he's going to be looking forward to.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God. I know, Jenny, I ask the worst questions, don't I?
Well, let me see what my mom says.
Okay.
John, I think we lost you. We can't hear you.
I'm not talking.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I turned it over to Jenny.
Are you guys putting? Is he in a costume?
He's supposed to be. He's supposed to be a pirate.
I'm going to be a pirate.
Okay, because I just saw him in a costume. So, yeah, my mom is just laughing, and she says this is just going to be a lot of fun. She just showed me him. So, yeah, it sounds like you guys are going to have fun. I would come, too, if it wasn't too far. Like, oh, Wilmington, I think it's about 8 hours. But
well,
it
actually,
like Jackson,
it's Jacksonville, and there was a little bit of work in getting this thing to happen, but I did. Anyway, all right. Look, thanks, Jenny. We have used your gifts and your talents more than we should have tonight. And I've put people on the spot, and I guess that's my lack of charm. Right. Okay. Anyway, I want to thank you very much. I am going to do the call around after the show, as I usually do. I've got to do the quick call around, and Jenny, if it's all right, I'll use the number that you're calling in from to give you a call first so that you can be done with us for the evening, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. And I want to say thank you, Jenny, so much. This has been the most wonderful guest. God, you put up with me. And so far, I haven't been fired. Matt, you haven't fired me yet.
No.
He can fire me. Take it over. But no, you haven't fired me, Matt. Thank you, Matt, for being a wonderful friend and just being, you know, whatever. We have a lot of drama here in the paranormal world, but that's okay. And Kyler, thank you very much. This has been the Put Up With John night, and just thank you to everybody. Love all of you. You're the best. And I tell you, you're the best on Tuesday night that anyone ever had in the paranormal world. So I'm going to say this is Dr. John Stamey saying thank you, Kyler Smith. Thank you, Matthew Delph. And thank you, Jenny Byers, for an incredible show. And as long as nobody is going to fire me, we'll be back. Next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Matt, is that okay?
Sounds good to me.
Kyler, after your experience in Jacksonville, will you be back?
Oh, I'm sure we'll have plenty of stories to tell everybody.
Oh, we're going to have plenty to tell because you don't know the shocks and surprises I've got for you. They're going to be great. All right, so look, thanks a lot, Jen, and we'll see you So your December, we'll see you, how about first weekend in February?
That sounds good.
Okay, great. We'll be in touch about that. And Matt, you're stuck next week. And Kyler, you're stuck next week. So anyway, we're going to sign off right now on the one and only ScaryCast. There's obviously nothing like it. I mean, George Norrie can't do this. I mean, he can't persecute all of his co-hosts. And make his guests work like a mad person, you know. So I think we're better than George Norrie, and we have a wonderful time. I wish Art Bell was still back with us. And so thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week on ScaryCast. So everybody say goodbye, please.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. Good night.
Good night.